Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. Glad you came to be with us in the Lord's house. I want to welcome those that's joined in by radio and those that's on Facebook Live. So this is our first service broadcast that way. Thank Lynn Goodwin for being responsible for that. So we'll be on Facebook Live today as well. So I want to welcome all those that's tuned in today. We're going to ask that you stand with us, please, as we open our service and sing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Let's stand together and sing all three verses. Seated, Pastor.
One thing we're going to start doing after the welcome, if you just want to turn around and wave at your neighbor, you can do that now. So just turn around and look at everybody and wave. We can't, we're going to follow the guidelines. So that's one way we can do a time of welcome. It is good to see you this morning. I welcome you to our service today. And we just pray today that God keeps us safe and healthy, and we're going to worship Him together. And so as far as we know, as far as the future, we're going to keep doing this at 11 o'clock, and we'll be on radio each week and also now on Facebook Live. So we'll be doing that. So for our radio listeners, that those are the options. We have worship here on site. We have radio, and then we'll have Facebook Live. So we do miss those who are not with us. And so we want you to know that we love you, and we love the people who meet here on campus with us. We just love everybody, and we need to stay together and work together. And I've just come to this place with it. I'm not judgmental about any decision that people make. And I think each person has to make their own decisions on what they want to do about church or, you know, whatever else in life with this COVID-19. So we respect each person's decision, and I just want you to understand that and know that, what we pray for is safe and healthy, to stay safe and healthy, and we pray for the unity of church. We need unity in these days as a church as we go forward, and certainly we have that here. So let's pray together. Lord, just thank you for the day, and we just thank you for this time of worship that we have. Lord, I pray today that we would honor you in our worship time. I pray that you would bless the preparation and everything we've done for this time today. Lord, we just thank you for each person that's here. I thank you that they have come today to worship you. And Lord, we just ask today that we open our hearts to you and we open our lives to you. You're such a great God. And we just thank you for the God that you are. We thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, today I just pray that you would just give us that spirit today that we need to worship you and to acknowledge you and to know your presence here with us today. We pray for those who are listening today by radio or watching by Facebook. We pray, God, that you would bless them and be with them. And we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Another change you may have noticed when you came in, I'm sure you did, that we ask you to sign in. That's just so that we can keep an accurate count of who's here. If someone was to test positive for the coronavirus, we'll be able to get in touch with everyone that was here. Just for your own safety. So you'll be seeing that as you come in. We ask that you sign in for that. We're going to sing two hymns, He Keeps Me Singing. I love to tell the story, so you join in with us.
Pleasant to repeat God from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Sing the new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Yes, we need to continue telling the story of Jesus and his love. As the praise team comes forward, we're going to introduce a new song with you this morning. The second song will be a new one, Yes, I Will. The first one is about the way, the truth, and the life. As Jesus said, that's what he is. So we're going to ask you to stand for the first one and join in with us, and we'll have you seated on the second one. So if you stand with us, join in.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are truth and the light. I believe you are. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Tells us that in John chapter 14, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by me. You're welcome to be seated. This is a new song. It talks about how we're going to continue through all the seasons of life to continue. We're going to give him our praise. Yes, I will lift your name.
Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God is never late, is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to pray. I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will for
Father, we thank you that no matter what comes our way, we can lift up your name. We will bless your name. We thank you for the assurance we have that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Open our hearts. May we receive your word this morning. Pray that it would make a difference in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise team, turn to the book of Psalm, please. Psalm 100 this morning and verse 5. We'll be looking at other scriptures also this morning. What we are told in these days of COVID-19, that people certainly need hope. I'm told that people cannot get enough praise and worship songs, that that's where they're turning to. And also that what people of faith are doing is turning to the familiar passages of Scripture. And really, that's what I've been doing in my life. And today, I'm going to talk about a familiar theme that's found in the Bible. And I was reading through Psalm the other day, and this theme kept coming to me. And it's the goodness of God in the land of the living. So I started thinking about that, and of course the question that you have is God a good God? And He is. Is God good all the time? And all the time God is good. So we know that, and we believe that, and that's what the Bible teaches us. So this morning what I want to do is begin a new series, and we're going to be talking about living in the goodness of God over these next few weeks. So Psalm 100 and verse 5 says this: For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So how do we know that God is good? We know God is good because that's what the Bible tells us. We know God is good because of what the theologians call the common grace of God. James says it this way, that God causes the rain on the just and the unjust. So that's the common goodness of God. It's the common grace of God. You woke up this morning. You have strength for the day. We see God's creation. I mean, that's the common grace and goodness of God. So what I want to talk about today, though, is something that I want us to avoid. And really, I'm going to present this in a negative way, but it's really a positive in our life, because we do not need to neglect the goodness of God in our life. We need to avoid taking the goodness of God for granted. So that's what I'll be talking about this morning. Now, what is it that opens the door to the goodness of God in your life and my life? Well, it is worship. When we worship God, then we open our life to His goodness. We acknowledge Him, that He is a good God, and that He's a great God. A few weeks ago, when I was interviewed by the local newspaper, they asked me what my foundation was. And I told them it's this: the goodness and the greatness of God. And so when you think about God, think about His goodness and think about His greatness. And when we do that, we honor Him and we open our heart to worship. We invite Him in. We acknowledge Him for all His goodness. We acknowledge Him for His greatness. Now, we could talk about all the attributes of God, but rather than doing that, the way you condense that is to think about the goodness of God and think about His greatness. For example, His moral attributes. God is holy. God is righteous. We think about His love. We think about His grace. We think about His mercy, His faithfulness. You go on and on and on. And all that is seen in the goodness and the greatness of God. So we worship Him. There's a passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 9, that is speaking about the children of Israel. They had been in captivity, and so they were getting ready to go back to the land now of Israel. And so what Nehemiah did was to find the book of God. He found the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 9 that he read from the book of the law for one-fourth of the day. And for another fourth of the day, they confessed their sins. And they worshiped the Lord their God. But now in that chapter, he goes through a whole list of things, talking about the goodness of God, how God chose Israel, how God called Abraham, how God brought them out of Egyptian bondage, how God led them through the wilderness. He talked about the goodness of God in feeding them and giving them water. He talked about the goodness of God all through the history of Israel, and he's reminding them of that. And so as you look at that chapter, he talks about the abundant kindness of God. In verse 25, "And they delighted themselves in your great goodness." In the New Testament, the word for the goodness of the Lord, or goodness, is usually translated kindness. In the Old Testament, the goodness of God is translated this way many times. The Old Testament writers talk about the loving kindness of God. And so that's speaking of Him. And so what they did was to live in His goodness, and they went back to those things that God had done for them. They were reminded of that. And in verse 30 of that chapter, here's what it says. "Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your Spirit and your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands." Now, what was the mistake there? The mistake was this, was they neglected the goodness of God. And that's what we need to avoid. They took the goodness of God for granted. And because of that, they went into captivity. And so what I want to do is talk now about what happens when we forget the goodness of God. One thing that happens, first of all, and these are negative consequences for forgetting the goodness of God, is that we start claiming credit for things that God has done for us. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about the parable of the foolish rich man. And he said, "I have done this, and I've done this and that, and I'm going to build greater barns, and I'm going to do greater things." It was I. And he did not acknowledge the goodness of God, of what God had blessed him with and what God had given him. The greatest sin, I think, in that chapter is the sin of prideful ingratitude. You understand it was pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven in the beginning. Pride is a very dangerous thing. Prideful ingratitude leads us to the place where we take the goodness of God for granted. And we start claiming, you know, all the things, success or whatever we have in life, you know, we start claiming credit for that rather than giving credit for God. Ingratitude really is the root of atheism. Because what ingratitude does is to say, "I don't need God. I can make it on my own." In Romans 1:20, the Bible tells us there, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." And so when a person says, "I don't believe in God," then they choose to make that decision. The reason they don't believe in God is not because of the evidence. The reason a person doesn't want to believe in God and give Him gratitude and thanks for the God He is because they don't want God. And that's what the Bible is saying, because the evidence of God is clearly seen. Everything you have in your life and I have in my life is because of God. God is the source of every good gift in our life. If God didn't exist, you wouldn't exist. And I wouldn't exist. And so James says it this way in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above. Another negative consequences of neglecting the goodness of God is that we stop asking God for help. And really, that's a big problem. When we stop praying and asking God for help, because what God wants is for us to ask Him and to pray and to talk to Him and ask Him for help. Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, how do we learn to trust God? We learn to trust God by asking Him for help. We learn to trust God by praying to Him. There's a famous circle of security that is taught in early childhood development. But it also can be applied. It also can be applied to us as believers. And here's how it goes. First of all, I have a need in my life. I express that need. Thirdly, God meets my need. Number four, I learn to trust Him. So that's how it works. And that's that circle of security. A young child may have a need in his or her life. Usually that's expressed by crying or whimpering or getting the parent's attention. And then the parent meets the need, and then the child learns to trust the father and mother. And see, that's how it is in our circle of security with God. We recognize our need. We cry out to Him. He meets that need. We thank Him for helping us and answering our prayers. So the only way we can learn to trust God is in our request to God, that request for help, that request for guidance. And so we learn to trust God that way. So we miss out on so much, though, when we do not ask God. The Bible says we're to knock, we're to ask, we're to seek. So we are encouraged to ask God for the help we need. In Psalm 66, the motive for answered prayer there is God's goodness. We think at times that what our need is, we don't want to, in other words, we think it's so small that we don't want to bother God with it. Well, folks, there's nothing, you know, too big or too small for God. To Him, it's all the same. And so whatever the need is, if it's small or great, we're to ask Him and we're to pray to Him. So He answers, though. See, He answers out of His goodness. It's not because of my goodness. It's not because of your goodness that God answers our prayer. We don't come to Him with a list and say, well, I've done this and this and this, and God, I've been good today. It's not that. The basis of answered prayer is the goodness of God. A third negative outcome of not acknowledging the goodness of God would be that we stop trusting Him in difficult times. You see, even in difficult times, God is good. The Bible says God is good. God is good all the time. Psalm 16, 1 and 2. Oh God, for in You I put my trust. Oh my soul, You have said to the Lord, You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from You. So it's not my goodness, but it's His goodness, and we can trust Him. A fourth negative consequence would be that we lose hope. Hope is based on the goodness of God. If God was not a good God, then we would not have hope. We would not have hope for daily living. What do people need today? They need hope. What's the message of the church to the world today in COVID-19? It is a message of hope. And so that's the message of the Bible. That's the message of the goodness of God, that even in COVID-19 and all that we're going through, that God is good. So his hope is based on his goodness. Hope is, someone said this, that hope is anticipating God's goodness. Psalm 27, 13, 14, listen to the psalmist. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see, the more we understand God, the more we understand the goodness of God. The psalmist was at a place in his life where he was just about to give up hope. Folks, he was on the bottom. And he didn't know where the answer was going to come from. He didn't know how the answer was going to come. He didn't know how he was going to get through the situation. But he said, my hope is in God, and I'm going to wait on God for the answer. In prayer, there's a great lesson we need to learn. There's a big difference between the answer of no and not yet. And that's why we wait on God. Because the answer comes in God's time. Why? Because God is good. Because God is good, then he doesn't make any mistakes. He knows what's best for you. He knows what is best for me. Hope is a conviction. Hope is our confidence in Christ. Hope can be an attitude, but it's more than attitude. It is a conviction. So what does hope mean for the Christian life? What does it mean for us? Someone said it this way, that hope means believing that in Christ and for his glory, we are able in this world to make a difference. On May 18th, we came back here for the first on-site worship time together after we had closed down. I preached a sermon that day from the book of Jeremiah on In the Meantime. What I talked about is how we are to live in society with everything going on with COVID-19 and all the fear and stuff that we are dealing with today. The verse I used was Jeremiah 29:5. And what that verse says was that even though they were in captivity, Jeremiah said, what you've got to do is keep doing what you're doing. Building houses, planning for the harvest, having families, going about your regular routine. You see, what hope is, it gives us a purpose. It says for us that even in the day that we live, God has a purpose for our lives. Someone else said it this way, that Christian hope frees us from putting ultimate hope in anything and in anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ. It prevents us from expecting final resolution of any problem on earth, because in this earth there are no final victories. After COVID-19, in the future there'll probably be another pandemic. After we get through with the crises in the economy now, down the road, there'll probably be another crisis in the economy. Folks, this is not heaven. Hope gives us hope in the future, but it also gives us hope here in daily living, that we are living out the purpose that God has for our lives. And so that is our hope. The ultimate hope, of course, is heaven. Hope is, according to Hebrews 11:1, here's what hope is. Now, faith is the substance. That word substance is conviction. Conviction of things hoped for. The evidence there is God's assurance. The promises of the Bible. All the assurance that God gives us in his word. I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your need. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I mean, all those assurances we have. Then he says it is the evidence of things not seen. Hope is the most solid conviction that you could ever have in your life. It is the God-given present assurance of a future reality. And that faith is based on the goodness of God. Psalm 33:5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We're told that during this time that many people are fighting with discouragement, depression, doubt, despair. And those emotions are real. And we all deal with that. But if you're fighting those things, because God is good, here's what I want to remind you of. He will meet all my needs when I'm worried. He will teach me to relax when I'm stressed out. He will replace my strength when I'm empty. He will guide me when I'm confused. He will walk with me in the dark days. He will protect me when I feel insecure. He will show His favor, His grace, and goodness to my life. He will give me goodness and mercy no matter what. And He will take me to heaven one day. You know what that is? That's Psalm 23. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, well, how can you bring this to conclusion? And the verse I thought about and went to that I want to conclude with is Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Now, that verse, the Bible uses three words to describe the goodness of God, the common grace of God, goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. And then he says, because of God's goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, then it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It leads us to Christ. It leads us to forgiveness of sin. It leads us to salvation. It leads us to that place to where we establish that relationship we need with the Lord. It is the goodness of God. But see, here's the danger. To neglect that. To take that for granted. People talk about an inverted theology. What they mean by that is this. Sometimes we have the attitude that God is in heaven up there just to serve us. See, that's a wrong view. It's inverted. We're here to serve God, to live out His purpose, to worship Him, praise Him. When we neglect the goodness of God, see, we're in danger of losing sight of that. But see, here's the thing, too. One day, see, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the long-suffering of God, the forbearance of God, one day it runs out. And that's what Romans chapter 2 is talking about. What God is saying there, look, I've been good to you, and I've revealed myself to you, I've done all that I can do, I've sent my Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. What more can I do? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and yet He rejected you. And you rejected me. And you rejected my Son. You have accepted me. He said, because of that, I pray today that during this invitation time that we would thank you for your goodness. Lord, you're such a good God. We thank you for the greatest gift that you have given to us. That is the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that expression of your goodness and kindness to us. The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that you so loved the world that you gave your Son to die on the cross for our sins. For those who need to believe in Christ today, to open their life to Him, I pray that they would do that. I ask today that they would ask Christ to come into their life, be their Savior, bring salvation. Father, as believers today, we don't intentionally forget about your goodness. We don't intentionally neglect your goodness, but at times we kind of take it for granted. And Lord, today I pray that we just come back to where we need to be with that. Just like the people in the day of Nehemiah did. They had a great revival in Nehemiah 9. And it just brought them back to your goodness and your grace. And I pray today as your people, that's where we would be. That you would revive our hearts today with your goodness and your greatness in our lives. Because you are a great God. Lord, we just thank you today for all that you've done for us. And even in the midst of COVID-19, we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forevermore.
Well, I appreciate you being here today. We woke up this morning. God's good. God gave us out of rest. God, today, as you live throughout this day, just enjoy the goodness of God. Enjoy your family, enjoy time together, enjoy His creation. Folks, that's the goodness of God that He's given to us, and we thank Him for it because He is a good God. As you leave today, the offering plate will be at the door, so we ask that if you have an offering that you'd like to give, just give today, and I thank you again for giving and for your financial support. This time I'll ask the worship team to come back and we'll be dismissed in our closing praise and worship song this morning. So thank you again for being here.
We're going to close this morning with the Salvation Medley, Jesus Saves, and Our God is Mighty to Save. So you join with us, and hopefully this will be the song that takes you through the week. Jesus Saves.
Joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus' face. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the seas and cross the waves. Onward to sing above the battle's strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By His death and endless fight, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He is mighty to save.
Thank you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.
Thank you.